The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
The most important image of meditation in Parashat Lech Lecha is that of the two covenants that Hashem God makes with the first Jewish soul, our first patriarch of our people, Abraham Avinu. Covenant means an act of connection which is super rational. A covenant is a pact, which is actually a promise or an oath that either two people or here it's God together with Abraham make to one another, that we're always going to be faithful to one another no matter what. Even though at the conscious plane sometimes one of the two partners of the covenant will behave in a not good way towards the other. But the pact and the covenant that was made initially is in order to ensure that no matter what, we'll always forgive one another and we'll always remain together. So there are two covenants in Parashat Lech Lecha that Hashem makes with Abraham. One is the covenant over the land of Israel, and he's giving this land to Abraham and to all of the generations to come, even though at this point Abraham did not yet have any children whatsoever. Nonetheless, God promised him the land, and he promised him actually 10 peoples. Afterwards, only 7 were given to the Jewish people when we passed over the Jordan River in the time of Joshua to inherit the land. Another 3 peoples remained for the future, for the Mashiach. And all of these 10 peoples were given in the first covenant that God made with Abraham. This covenant is referred to as the covenant of the pieces. Why is it called the pieces? Brit Ben Haptarim in Hebrew. Because Abraham was instructed to take animals and cut them into pieces, and to walk through between the pieces. This is what the way that in ancient times covenants were made. To walk between the pieces, and actually the two souls that are now binding themselves together eternally, both together walk between the pieces, indicating that we are now becoming one. And God sent as his representative a torch of fire, Lapid Esh, and that torch of fire went together with Abraham between the pieces. The word covenant, this is a very important point that our sages indicate, that whereas in the second covenant that we'll now presently explain, the word covenant appears 13 different times. It's called the covenant of circumcision. Here in the initial covenant, which is the covenant of the land, giving the land to the Jewish people, to the children of Abraham forever and ever, the word covenant just appears at the end one time. So even though this covenant is called the covenant of the pieces, which is cutting animals apart and pass the two souls, here it's God together with Abraham, pass together through, and this binds them spiritually together forever and ever. There's something very singular, even though there are here 10 peoples also that are given to Abraham. But the essence of the covenant is singular. It's one. It's just like Abraham himself in 2 different places in the Tanakh, in the Bible, Abraham himself referred to as one. One also means the first one, because he's the first Jew. He's also called the first believer in God. The very fact that he is the first believer is part of this first covenant. Because in this first covenant it says, V'he'amin b'Hashem, that Abraham believed in God. From which we learn that he is the first, because there's nobody else that ever believed in God before Abraham. So actually we learn that he is the first believer from this very Torah portion of the covenant of the pieces. But there's something very singular. So when one verse reads, Echad haya Abraham, Abraham was one. And the other verse reads, Ki echad kira'ativ, for I have called him one. And his very name is one. Now, amazingly, the word one itself, even though it means one, but it equals as a word, its numerical value, the three letters that comprise the word one are Aleph, Chet, and Dalet, which equal 1 and 8 and 4 respectively, and together they equal 13. So the first covenant, the word covenant is singular, it's just mentioned one time. The next covenant, which we'll now go on to meditate upon, which is the covenant of circumcision, the word covenant appears 13 times. But 13 times is exactly the value of that word one, which is the connotation of Abraham himself, Abraham. So it's from the small one, we'll call it, to the big, or the fully expressed one. From the point of oneness, of singularity, to the full expression of oneness. That the point of oneness, of one covenant, is the first covenant over the land. But then comes the second covenant, which is the covenant of circumcision, which is in the flesh of the human being, of the Jew. That there, the oneness comes to its consummate, fullest expression, that is mentioned 13 times. The sages teach us that there's something so great about circumcision, even greater than all of the Torah together. The study of the Torah. Why? Because in reference to the Torah itself, the word covenant only appears 3 times in a different Torah portion. But here it appears 13 times. When Noah in last week's Torah reading was also given, was a covenant made between God and the earth, and nature, which is the covenant of the rainbow. So there the word covenant appears 7 times. That those 7 appearances of the word covenant in the context of the rainbow spiritually correspond to the 7 commandments of Noah and all of his children forever and ever. But here, when God now is making 2 covenants with Abraham himself, actually the covenant in the time of Noah was not so personal, it wasn't a personal covenant with Noah, it was a covenant between God and creation. That he's not going to destroy all of creation again as he did in the time of Noah. But now when we turn to Abraham, it's already it's 2 personal covenants that God is making with Abraham himself. First, over the land, and then over his very body. In a different place, with reference to the Torah, the word covenant is mentioned 3 times. So this is explained at great length in another place, that this forms a very important quadratic series, which we call them covenant numbers, 1, 3, 7, 13, which to read it as a simple quadratic formula is n squared plus n plus 1. That if n is 0, then the function fn equals 1. If n is 1, it equals 3. If n is 2, it equals 7. If n is 3, it equals 13. The next number in the series will be 21, and then 31, and 41, and so forth. These are called covenant numbers. And they appear throughout the Torah readings about covenants in general. Now we will return to the essence of the meditation, which is the relationship between these 2 covenants. The first observation is, at what age were these 2 covenants made between God and Abraham? First over the land, and then over his physical body. Giving the Jew this commandment and covenant of Brit Milah, of circumcision, is explained in Hasidut to mean that God is choosing the Jewish body. Female Jews were taught are already born circumcised. From the moment that God gave circumcision to Abraham, and then he changed his name from Avram to Abraham, at the same time he changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah, and both of them were being circumcised together. But physically there is no necessity for a physical act on the female body, but both bodies are now being chosen simultaneously. So first, the land, which is itself a chosen land from the outset of creation, is being given to Abraham and his children. And then the very body of every Jew is being chosen by God and thereby becoming unique in its holiness. One more simple observation of the difference between the two covenants. In both cases, the covenant has to do with cutting something. The covenant that God makes with the world, the rainbow, in the previous chapter on Torah reading of Noach, is not a symbol, does not involve a symbol of cutting. Neither does the covenant over the giving of the Torah to Israel involve an explicit symbol of cutting something. But the common denominator of these two covenants, the covenant over the land and the covenant of Brit Milah, is a cutting covenant. The word pieces itself, bitarim, is a permutation of the word brit, which means circumcision. That's also a very important relation between the two covenants. The simple difference, if you want to give it an idiom in English, is that the first covenant over the land is called cutting something apart. That's why it's called the covenant of the pieces. And walking through the two pieces, not choosing one piece over the other, or discarding one piece for the sake of retaining the other piece. It's just cutting apart. Whereas the second covenant is cutting away. But the second covenant is cutting something off the body and throwing it away because it's impure, it's profane, it's negative energy for the body. It also conceals the fact that God is choosing this physical body. So once more, both covenants here with Abraham are cutting covenants. It's called the cutting edge of the Jewish people. And one is cutting apart, and the second is cutting away. Meaning that first, there has to be this experience in our own psyche, especially in our meditation of this week, of Lech Lecha, of cutting apart. Cutting apart the simple separation, without yet choosing, as we said, one piece over the other, even in this particular context, for the sake of the two pieces becoming like two borders through which we walk and unite. That they're sort of, it's serving a purpose as a border. Slightly ironically, in English, a piece is also, in Hebrew it could also appear, but especially in English, a piece like a piece of property or a piece of land in our context. In a certain sense, in the Brit Bin Abtarim, every piece counts. So you would say that in relation to the land of Israel, every piece counts. That we're not out to discard pieces. We're just the very opposite. We're out to recognize pieces, that this is a piece and this is another piece, and we actually have to proceed through each two pieces. The pieces in a certain way define our presence in the land, because there's a piece to the right and a piece to the left, and we're walking with God through the middle. As if there weren't pieces, like the land of Israel wouldn't be divided into segments of tribes, that each one of the 12 tribes is a piece. Right? City is a piece. Then there wouldn't be this awareness of ways, if there are different cities in the land, which are like different pieces, that sometimes every city is called a whole state, like a country in its own right. There wouldn't be roads that connect the pieces. Roads that connect cities or connect pieces of land. That's why it's so important, it's very spiritually important to build roads in a country, are like blood vessels, it says. Every different piece is like a limb of the body, and the roads that connect them are the blood vessels. Because this whole system, the circulation of the blood is by means of the roads, and the adam wa nefesh. In the blood is the essence of the soul, and the soul is a part of God. And actually, God is walking whenever we ride the roads of Israel. So we are, in a little way, now passing through the pieces with God. and taking our inheritance of the land. That's why we're taught that every four amot, every four cubits that a Jew walks in Israel is a mitzvah, a great mitzvah in its own right. Because actually you're walking together with God between the pieces. The other, the next covenant, as we said before, is cutting something off. It's cutting away. There's something which is impure, and it has negative effect upon myself, and that's why I have to discard it, cut it off and throw it away. It's the effect actually that the primordial snake had on me. And that's foreskin. And there, the concept of oneness of the covenant comes to its full expression 13 times. So now we'll go back to say, what were the ages of Abraham at the time of these two important covenants of this week's parasha? According to the sages, the first covenant of the pieces was at the age of 70. And even though it's not explicitly stated in the written Torah, whereas the second covenant of Brit Milah is explicitly stated, it took place at the age of 99, meaning that there was a period of 29 years between the two covenants, from 70 to 99. The first very, very beautiful and important phenomenon that we see if we add these two ages together, the first age is actually an age that derives from the oral Torah. Once more, it does not explicitly say so in the written Torah. In the written Torah, it even appears that it must have taken place after the age of 75, because at the very beginning of the Torah reading, it says that Abraham was 75 years old when he entered the land of Israel, which appears to be the first time that he entered the land of Israel. But the sages teach us that he had been here before. He had been here 5 years before God said, go to Israel. And 5 years before, that's the time that that the first covenant took place. So this is something that obviously is coming from a very high level that's not at all explicit in the Torah itself, that he was 70 years old at the time of the first covenant. But the second covenant of 99 years old, that it says in the verse itself. So when we add these two numbers together, the one from the oral Torah and the number of the written Torah, we find that 70 plus 99 equals 169. But 169 is no less and no more than an exact square number. And what is it a square number of? A square number always in Kabbalah represents perfection or consummation. If a square number is produced by the sum of two other numbers, it means that these two numbers complement one another and produce a perfect phenomenon. It's the square of 13 squared. As we said before, 13 is the value of 1. It's just in the covenant, the first covenant, the 1 is totally singular, because breed is mentioned only one time, whereas in the second covenant, it already becomes expressed fully, that is, 13 times the word breed appears. So together, it's very, very significant that the age, the two ages of the two covenants, is 13 squared. And there's another even deeper phenomenon about these two numbers, that we know that it's impossible that of natural numbers that twice a square of A, if A and B are two natural numbers, it's impossible that 2A squared should equal B squared, because of the fact that the square root of 2 is not rational. So therefore, whoever understands basic arithmetic and mathematics knows that 2a squared cannot equal b squared ever if a and b are two natural numbers. The closest is plus or minus 1. That's the closest possibility. And one example, these are very rare examples of such a pair, that the twice the square of one number is plus or minus 1, the square of another number is with respect to these two numbers, 70 and 99. Because 70 squared is 4,900, and 99 squared is 9,801. But 9,801 is twice 70 squared plus 1. Meaning that this is as close as you can come to the secret of the square root of 2. What is the secret of the square root of 2? It's the secret of the diagonal of a square. Now, there's something very deep about inheriting land and also about perfecting one's physical body and removing from the physical body negative energies, which especially negative sexual desires, that it has to do with correcting one's diagonal perspective on reality. What's more, if you see a square, so there's the diagonal line. And we're taught in Kabbalah and Hasidut that the diagonal line is actually a angle, it's a 40 degree angle of perception on reality itself. It's like not looking at things straight, looking at things diagonally. Even the word lihistakel in Hebrew, which means to look, to observe, is cognate to alachson, which means a diagonal line. So again, mathematically, the secret of a diagonal line is this: is the square root of 2. And the way that that's represented numerically is the closest possibility of the square of one number times 2 being one more or less than the square of another. And that's, as we just now pointed out, is the case of these two numbers, the two ages of Abraham Avinu at the times of these two crucial covenants and unions that God made with the first Jew. So just now to complete with one other thought of what these two covenants mean in our own service of Hashem. The first covenant, we're taught, means the ability of the Jewish soul to emulate God. Because we walk together, like we said before, when we walk down the road, especially when we make a trip from one city to another city, or in one city itself, from one place, from one site to another site, so it's like we're walking together with God through the pieces. And that consciousness is one of the ability of the soul to emulate God, which is one of the great mitzvot of the soul, of the Torah. Actually, if we count the mitzvot of the Torah, it's mitzvah number brit. Brit is 612. It's one mitzvah before the end. The mitzvah to emulate God, which in the terminology of the Torah is v'halachta b'drachav, you shall walk in His ways. So it's actually the symbol is one of walking together with God. Just as He is passionate and He is compassionate and merciful, so you'll be merciful. Just like He is patient, so you'll be patient. The Rambam adds, just as He is strong, so you have to be strong. We have to try to be just like God. That comes with the covenant over the land, meaning the people that don't have that consciousness strong enough. That God has given us the land of Israel, and that we walk together with God in this land. So it's hard, maybe it's even impossible for him to truly fulfill the commandment of emulating God, which is walking together with God. That has to do with the land of Israel. Whereas the next one, which is even a higher level, is called walking before God. It's more the inheriting the land of Israel is called walking with God, which is the ability to emulate God in His divine attributes. But just at the beginning of the second covenant, how does God begin to address Abraham? He says, "Hithalech lefanai v'heyeh tamim," walk before me and be perfect. And after saying walk before me and be perfect, then he gives Abraham the commandment of circumcision. What does that mean, to walk before God? So the simple meaning is that means the ability of the Jew to direct providence, to direct himself, to influence divine providence. Just like it says that the tzaddik, and every Jew is intended to be a tzaddik, is gozer decrees, and God fulfills the decree of the tzaddik. And sometimes God makes a decree, and a true tzaddik is able to nullify the decree of God Himself. And then God smiles, as it were, and says that my children have won over me. because this is the deepest desire of our Father in Heaven, that the children come to such a level that they can even direct divine providence. Which means, the simple meaning is the ability to take initiative to innovate new things and new revelations of the Torah and of goodness to the world. Not just to wait to be taken hand by hand. He said that Noah, who was before Abraham, had to be taken hand by hand. It says he also walked with God. He didn't walk between the pieces, but he walked with God, and the way it's explained is that he was taken hand by hand. Abraham already walked by himself, but the first covenant is walking yourself without having to be taken hand by hand, but nonetheless together parallel to God, which once more is the ability to emulate God. But the second is even a higher level of walking. It's called precede me, walk before me. And that's because when is a person able to walk before God? When his body is perfect, when he has no foreskin, when it's clear that not only is your soul a part of God, but your very body is a chosen body by God. Then you can actually, as it were, tell God what to do and initiate providence and revelation in the world. And that's the real joy and pleasure of God creating and choosing the Jewish people.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Interdimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving-kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.